Well, happy opening day, everybody. Major League Baseball officially begins today around the league. We had a couple of games in Japan about 2 weeks ago, but now the rest of the league gets involved in the action. And very excited for baseball to get underway. And now we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's also a radio broadcaster for the San Diego Padres at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Tony, good morning to you. Happy opening day. What is your favorite opening day memory as a player?
Happy opening day, Andy. My favorite memory as a player is my first experience getting ready to take the line as a starter. I think as a kid growing up, watching my dad do it for so long and just kind of being really infatuated with that part of opening day, the first time I got to hear my name called and take the line, that was pretty special.
I'd imagine so. I can't even, you know, the energy, the flyover, all the excitement going into it, that'd be a pretty badass feeling. When I asked you as a broadcaster and as a fan of the sport, what are the most interesting storylines? I'm not going to, you're not going to give me like 10 of them, but like two or three storylines that stick out to you heading into this Major League Baseball season. What's at the top of your mind?
I mean, obviously, I'm out here West, so National League West in the division, top to bottom. Maybe not the bottom, but the top four teams.
And nobody needs the Rockies, man. Just throw the Rockies out.
Exactly. The top four teams in that division all, I think, got better. Obviously, the headlines are surrounding the Dodgers and all of the unbelievable moves they made, but the Diamondbacks got better. I think the Giants got better. I think the Padres ultimately got a little bit better, too, when they added Pivetta to the mix. So I think that's going to be the most difficult division in baseball. I think another storyline that you got to look at is what that American League East looks like. Obviously, Yankees coming off a World Series loss, but the Red Sox all of a sudden went out and made a ton of moves. They look like a team that's going to threaten. The Orioles still have their young core. They're still trying to figure out how to get over the hump. I think those two divisions will be the most difficult divisions to win in baseball.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Insider Call is brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. We're talking opening day with Tony Gwynn Jr., Padres radio broadcaster at Tony Gwynn Jr. on Twitter. Paul Skeen had some comments. Now, he's getting to start opening day for the Pirates, which I found interesting because they did like an announcement video, which I just chuckled at, like, who the hell else would you start on opening day? He was so good last year. Like, all right. So that wasn't a surprise to me. But he made comments about, hey, man, we owe it to the fan base. We owe it to the city. We got to break through and win. He seems like a generational talent, and all the numbers back that up from what he did last year. I'm just curious what you expect from him in a sophomore campaign and what you made of him, I don't want to say calling out the organization, but being very public of like, hey, this city and this fan base, they deserve more than what we've been giving them.
You know, Eddie, it's funny because obviously being out here in San Diego, there are a lot of folks that feel some type of way about Paul Skeens winning that rookie of the year over Jackson Merrill. But every time I hear him speak, I'm more and more impressed with him. I mean, this young man not only has generational talent, but he seems to get it. He understands, you know, what's important. And, you know, I give him a lot of credit for a young dude coming in. I think he recognizes maybe some of the power that he holds. And, you know, making a bold comment like that, which was very truthful, by the way, I think it's awesome. It's good to see a young guy come out of college and get to the big league so fast and just understand it. Like, he understands what's important. I mean, that Pittsburgh fan base has been loyal, but, you know, I think it's hard to say that it's been reciprocated from the ownership side. And so we've seen guys like Gerrit Cole, McCutcheon.
Yeah.
I mean, a slew of talented players come up through there and not stay. And so I think he's just kind of pushing the button, putting pressure on ownership. Not that it may work. It hasn't worked to this point. But I think he's well within his right to speak his mind on that.
Yeah, if I'm a Pirates fan too, because of the other guys you mentioned, a little concern there of like, can we hold it? Can we get a deal done now with this guy?
Sure.
Lock him up for 15 years or something. We spent so much time in sports kind of complaining about the current structure. Like NBA gets this a lot. We complain about the too many threes and guys hunting for fouls. I'm curious, as a former player, how you feel about just the current state of the game. I think the pitch clock's been a positive to speed things up, but I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm a Giants fan. There's times when I'm watching, like, three straight games where they're using an opener and seven different pitchers, and it's not the baseball I grew up watching, and let's go lefty-righty matchups the entire time in our lineup, and it's just platoon players and not everyday starters. Hopefully trending away from some of that in spots, but as a former player, what do you make of some of that stuff and the way analytics has involved itself in the game?
Yeah, it's not a good watch. You know, I think the baseball nerds like myself and some of the analytic folks understand it, why it's going that way. But in terms of what the fan base is getting to watch, it was becoming unwatchable. And, you know, I think we're starting to see the pendulum swing back the other way. And, you know, baseball is funny like that. I mean, when it swings all the way, and then it slowly self-corrects. I think that's where we're starting to get to now, right? We're hearing less about launch angle. We're hearing, you know, a lot of terms that I heard growing up in terms of hitting, all of a sudden starting to resurface again. And I think that's a good thing. I know in terms of your Giants, you can bet they're going to get away from that. Buster Posey running things over there now. My guess, and just based off watching during spring, they're going to have a much more old-school baseball feel in terms of, you know, real starters, some real guys out there that, yeah, maybe you have a one or two platoons, but it's not like eight of them out there like it has been in the past. So I'm starting to see the pendulum swing, and that's encouraging for a guy like myself who played the game a little ways back.
Yeah, we got to get those batting averages up, man. I need more action. I need more activity. It just we're missing that a little bit in the sport. So I hope you're right, and it is. I think the Giants will be trending in that direction. Do you got any dark horse teams you like, Tony? Any teams that you're looking around baseball you think, man, they're not getting maybe the credit or the attention that they deserve going into opening day?
I mean, you can really look at the entire Central, and that's probably because, you know, no one expects anybody to win. But they got some good teams in that division. I mean, Brewers consistently every year show up when nobody's expecting them. I think the one team you got to look out in that division for is the Cardinals. They're coming off of, you know, what they say is the worst season of you know, one of the worst seasons they've had in a while. But they got a lot of young talent. And if they can get that young talent to figure it out at the big league level, I think a few of those guys are going to. They could be a team that all of a sudden goes from, you know, to the top of that division. That's the dark horse I see is the Cardinals coming out of that Central.
Interesting. I like that. They got, not the longest World Series odds that they've had in a long time. It's been such a good organization forever. There's a team out there that has the lowest over-under in terms of Vegas win expectancy in like 35 years. It's the White Sox. Their over-under this year is 53.5. Would you take the under on the White Sox? Because that's historically bad. And what's the worst team you ever played on in your big league career, and how hard was it at the end of the season?
You know, it's funny you asked me that. Somebody asked me that the other day. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I played on an atrocious team like that. Probably the worst team I played on probably had some of the more stars than I think I can remember. And that was the Philadelphia Phillies team in 24. It was an aging Jimmy, an aging Chase.
Yeah.
And you still had Ryan Howard. You still had Cliff Lee. But we just couldn't quite figure it out. It was just a lot going on that team. It's probably the worst team I played on. In terms of taking the under, I wouldn't. And it's probably more personal than it is factual. One of my good buddies is Will Venable. He gets the opportunity to manage this team. And having talked to him during spring a few times, you know, he just has such a positive outlook. And I think just the mere fact of having new energy in that room could do some wonders for him. Now, I don't think they're going to finish anywhere but at the bottom of that division, but I do expect them to beat the the over on the over-under number.
I mean, it's not asking. Yeah, we just got 54 wins is all we need, man. That's not that high of a, that's not that high of a bar to jump over. I'm with you on Venables, too, man. He was a hell of a player to watch in his career. Well, it's a fun day around opening day. Last one for you, Tony, before we let you go. This is the one day probably across the bigs, outside of maybe the White Sox and Marlins today, that every ballpark will be sold out. The fans will be there. Just, you know, hope springs eternal, right? Everybody's excited for the start of the year. Give me your least favorite ballpark to play in as a player and your favorite ballpark to play in as a player.
Oof, my least favorite. I'll start with my favorite. My favorite was Chicago. Yeah. I mean, there's just, again, as someone who grew up in the game and got to experience those places, to be able to play in that stadium for the first time was really, really amazing. I enjoyed that. The worst, you know, we don't get to go there no more, and that's a little bit sad, too, is the Coliseum. By the time I got to the Coliseum, it was pretty run down. So that's probably the worst one. But I'm a sucker for nostalgia. So, like, the Bostons, the Chicagos of the world, L.A., I love going to those stadiums and playing.
Great stuff. Tony Gwynn Jr., give him a follow on Twitter, at Tony Gwynn Jr., Padres radio broadcaster. Happy opening day, man. Thanks so much for hopping on the show. Enjoy. You guys got a good one today for opening day, so can't wait to watch that later this afternoon, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Thank you for having me, Andy. Appreciate it.